He is not here. He is risen. Let us celebrate together. Good morning. Amen. Christ has risen. Christ has risen indeed. That is why we are here this morning at Easter Sunday, Resurrection Sunday. It's good to see so many beautiful faces with us this morning. I see many guests with us and family members. Welcome to First Baptist Elon. If this is your first time visiting with us, welcome. We want to extend our hand of gratitude and hospitality to you today. Fill out a visitor's card that's found in your pew in front of you, and you can place it in the offering plate just a little bit later on so we can have record of your visit. But we want to welcome you with warm arms and smiling faces. It is a day of celebration. It is a day of worship. We have been anticipating this for weeks now as we have journeyed through the season of Lent, beginning with Ash Wednesday, as we have journeyed through the Final Supper, the Last Supper on Maundy Thursday, as we have gathered at the cross as Christ was crucified on Good Friday. And we've anticipated, we've waited, we've hoped, and the hope has come because it is Resurrection Sunday. This is the day that we celebrate. And it's not just that we celebrate here. There are brothers and sisters across this world that have gathered this morning, earlier in the day, later in the day, that will gather to celebrate the risen Lord. And it would be remiss to me this morning if I did not mention some of those brothers and sisters that have been worshiping today, that have been surprised. I don't know if many of you saw in the news feed this morning, there were bombings at the Easter sunrise services in Sri Lanka just earlier today. Our hearts and our prayers go out to our brothers and sisters in Christ across the ocean. We lift them up in prayer today. Today is a day of celebration, but it's also a day of mourning. So as we gather here this morning, why don't we not spend a few moments in silence remembering those who are grieving the loss on this day of celebration today? Let us pray. Father, while we want answers, may we be reminded that you are the answer. On this Resurrection Sunday, we remember our brothers and sisters in Christ who are grieving the loss of loved ones just this day. We're facing injuries and questions and turmoil. Father, blanket them with your protection and your love this day. Father, may they know they have their brothers and sisters here at First Baptist Elon praying for them this morning. We lift them up to you on this Resurrection Sunday. Amen.
Darkness. The sky didn't make a sound. No breeze to soothe a weary soul. No tears of heaven to wash away the bloodied timbers of the cross. We held our breath in disbelief. The guards watched in confusion. Jesus, the King of the Jews, is dead. How could this happen? We believed him. Is this the great deception of heaven? That we would be mocked and misled by God? The prophets promised one that would save us, one that would bring freedom and healing. We thought it was this Jesus. We were sure it was him. But he is a man just like the rest of us. And now we are left alone.
I cast my mind to to Calvary, where Jesus bled and died for me. I see his wounds, his hands, his feet, my Savior on that cursed tree. His body bound and drenched in tears, they laid him down in Joseph's tomb, the entrance sealed by heavy stone. Messiah still and all alone.
Darkness had won, heaven silent as a tomb. But then, out of the shadows, something happened.
When on the third, at break of dawn, the Son of Heaven rose again.
Shook in power, heaven rolled away the stone. Jesus, the King of Kings, is alive. No tear of grief could wash away the joy of our heart. We held our breath in disbelief. The guards were paralyzed in fear. How could this happen? We saw him. Is this the great miracle of heaven? That we would be loved and redeemed by God? The prophets promised one that would save us, one that would bring freedom and healing. It is this Jesus. We are sure of it. He is a man just like the rest of us, but he is God, sent to redeem us, and now stand together, never alone, singing praise to our God forever and ever with one voice, the one name, the name above every name, Jesus Christ, the risen King.
Today, for our opening scripture reading, we read from Psalm 118. reading verses 1 and 2 and verses 14 through 24. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Let Israel say, his steadfast love endures forever. The Lord is my strength and my might. He has become my salvation. There are glad songs of victory in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die, but I shall live and recount the deeds of the Lord. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not give me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord. The righteous shall enter through it. I thank you that you have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone that the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this day. Father, yesterday we had so much lost. We lost the light. We lost the argument. We lost love. We lost life. We lost God. We lost Jesus. But this morning we found the tomb empty. The morning bright. The gardener walking. The stone rolled. The disciples running. The women proclaiming. The resurrection waiting. And Jesus risen. It is good we have found our way here on this Easter Sunday, because love is back, life is here. We give you thanks, Jesus, our risen Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Now, if you're able, please stand and join in singing our hymn of praise, In Christ Alone.
Thank you. Oh, good.
So, good morning. Happy Easter to everyone. I'm here this morning to dispel some myths, but give some truths. It is that time of the year where it's time for our annual deacons fish fry and fellowship. I want to dispel one myth. It is not the Eighth and Lindsay fish fry. Contrary to what a lot of you may think, because I've been approached for the past 3 months, when we gonna get our fish? So, that's a myth, it's not mine. But the truth is, we will be having the annual fish fry on Friday, May 3rd at 6 p.m. You should be seeing in your Sunday school classes these sheets that are going out to sign up. I think you all enjoy the fish fry, have been enjoying it. We've been doing it a couple of years now. So I think it is now officially the First Baptist Church of Elon Deacons Ministry presents its Fish Fry Fellowship, okay? But in seriousness, we could not do this without the help of the last couple of years. We have a crew. So if you want to know about your fish fry when it's coming up, you can also ask these folks. Would the following people please stand? John Farnham. Wave your hand, John, so we'll know. That's our main man. He usually does the alternatives, smoke something going on. Everybody doesn't eat fish, so we got you covered. Stay standing, John. Warner Ekman. That's one of our main fryers. He's on fryer number two. Anybody worked at McDonald's, y'all would have got that joke. Ulysses Warwick, he's back, he's there. But Ulysses is usually one of our runners. He's back there. He's looking in, saying what they're doing. My man, Bobby Roach. Where are you, Bobby? Bobby's over there. Bobby's really important. He's my main man because he helps me get all the equipment and all the oil up here every time. So without Bobby, we have no fish. John Hines, he's one of our excellent runners. Brian Carroll, we've upgraded Brian. He was a breader, now he's a fryer. Where's my main man, Bernie? Where are you, Bernie? Is he here yet this morning?
Bernie's not here.
Okay, anyway, Bernie is the man because he came in first time last year with his apron all in his hand. I said, uh-oh, we in trouble, y'all. He know what he doing. So Bernie's on with us. Jeff Pritchard.
He's not here.
All right, Jeff is probably claiming to be catching some catfish. He's been saying that for 3 years for the fish fry. So, but Jeff is one of our fryers. Chip Ferguson. We broke Chip in just last year. And Chip is, now that he's there, we now have fire control and all that. So that's what he's there for. Mike Allred, he's come along and he helps us out. He gets there when he can. All right, y'all see these folks? These are our fish fryers, okay? Stay standing, gentlemen. Honorable mention, we have Jerry Zunden. Jerry, where are you?
Zoden,
Jerry Z, as I call him. Jerry, you don't want to be in the honorable mention crowd. Jerry just shows up to eat and complain. And always bothers me, always complaining and bothering me about something. So that's Jerry. That's the, don't be in the honorable mention group, okay? So if you have prepared or brought a green beans coleslaw to the fish fry in the past, would you please stand? Come on, there's a method to this madness. Somebody, have you prepared food and brought something to the fish fry, okay? Great. So those folks and some other people, we're going to ask you to keep doing that. Please keep standing. Stay standing. This is an interactive thing. Kathy said she wasn't going to do it, so this is what you got. So usually we have baked beans, coleslaw, and desserts that are done by members of the congregation, specifically the Sunday school classes. These folks have done that. All right, we got something in for everybody. If you have just showed up to the fish fry just to eat, would you please stand? In the past. It's okay. Tell the truth. Good, good.
You're in God's house.
That's right. So, if you are curious about coming to the fish fry, and you know, you've heard about it. This is the time where we're going to ask you to stand and join us. You are officially invited or deputized to come. You don't want to be on that honorable mention crowd. So for those of you who are remaining, we're just going to ask you to stand anyway, because we don't want to shame you and say all they did was come here for Easter. So if you're able, that's fine. If you're not, you can just raise your hand. So look around and you see this is how we do the fish fry. It is a fellowship where we invite each other to come, but more importantly, a neighbor. So look around. You see all these faces here. We're going to find out who's going to be, who didn't show up May 3rd. And especially, we even have something, a very, very special meal for those people who don't eat fish. We know everybody doesn't. We have alternatives for people. That will probably be whatever John and I decide we want to experiment on and smoke or roast this year. So with the exception, we do have a special order for Liz Hill, which we just try to figure out. We hit the mark, right, Liz? Those of you know. But all seriousness, thank you. Look around. This cannot happen without all of us. It's a tradition now that people enjoy, and we use it as an opportunity to reenact the feeding of the multitude, so to speak. So please, you know, you got the information. Invite some folks that you want to come. But more importantly, those of you who are here, come back, and we hope to see you on May 3rd. Thank you.
Remain standing. Now, my question is, who catches the fish?
That's a secret, but I'm going to take Bill Mann with me.
Well, you know, it would help if you put your music in order and have the right pages in order. That's what happened a while ago. I had page 6 instead of page 5. 5 comes before 6, doesn't it? Well, I had 6 and then 5.
South Carolina education.
Yeah. Oh. So it kind of helps to have it in order. So that's why we didn't get to verse 4 in the right time. We're going to sing now, Up From the Grave He Arose. And when I went to the sunrise service this morning, so I've been up since 4:30 this morning, and that could be part of the problem. I like the way the guy, Randy, did Up From the Grave, and we're going to do that this morning. On each verse, we're going to sing it very softly. And when we get to the chorus, I want you to sing with all you got up from the grave. So verse is soft, chorus loud. Can y'all can do that this morning. All right, Becky, hit it.
Up from the grave, He arose. service Easter Sunday, and every day we can celebrate the triumph of Jesus over death. Use us to change hearts and minds with this good news of a risen Savior, and honor our worship today in every way. Amen.
Second scripture reading comes from Acts of the Apostles, chapter 10, reading verses 34 through 43. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee after the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. We are witnesses to all that he did both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear. Not to all the people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. That is what death of Christ meant. That is what the resurrected Lord meant. As we reflect on that passage this morning, let us go to the Lord in prayer. Loving God, we confess that at times we do not share in the joy of the resurrection, but often get caught up in the worries of the world. We confess that we do not always live in the spirit of new life, but remain discontent, grumbling, and anxious. Father, forgive us for not sharing in the good news. Forgive us when we find it more comfortable to worry and complain than to risk the joy and encouragement of new life that is found in Christ. Call us back to your ways, O God, to seek hope and reconciliation restoration, and peace. Christ is risen. The stone is rolled away. The tomb found empty. Mary calls out, "I have seen the Lord." We have seen Christ, too, in every helping hand, in every heartfelt gift, in every choice to restore life in this world. We are called to this new life, Father, a life of forgiveness and reconciliation. We are forgiven. May we accept your forgiveness and know that your love and your desire for us to live with you is abundant every single day, not just this Sunday. Help us to walk forward on this journey of faith with you, knowing Christ is risen and he walks right beside us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Jesus Christ is risen today. Oh, hallelujah.
Meyer, thank you for leading in worship today. Gay, thank you for leading in our music. We've already had a full worship service, haven't we? I know, and I know everybody's looking down at their watch and they're saying, all right, it's 11:45. David promised we'd be out by noon. Sometimes I break my promises. But the Spirit moves. The Spirit moves. As we gather here on this Resurrection Sunday at First Baptist Church of Elon, we are a church in transition. We are a church in interim. And knowing that and feeling that emotion that runs through the church, not just on Sundays, but on Monday through Saturday as well, we have to recognize and acknowledge it. Because this day, Easter Sunday, is a day of emotion. It is a day of celebration. It goes from tears of despair and grief to shouts of joy and proclamation. And I have felt the same things over the last 4 or 5 weeks here at First Baptist Elon. And to not acknowledge it would be foolish. But as we gather here in God's house and see how God has moved, that God is moving, and that God will continue to move, we need to recognize that we celebrate and we worship a risen Lord. Not a Lord that rose from the dead, but a risen Lord. Because there is a difference from being in the past to being in the present. And we are in the present. He is risen. Over the past couple weeks, our church has gone through a time of prayer and scripture reading and a time of this season of Lent, also as a time of interim. And I came across a quote a couple weeks ago as I was working on these devotionals, and it's by the author Jonathan Lockwood Huell. In the book, it's titled Simply an Inspired Life. He says this: a wonderful gift may not be wrapped as you might have been expecting. I want to say that again. A wonderful gift may not be wrapped as you might have been expecting. Think about that. Expectations define how we approach every moment of our life, right? Right? Think about it. Your expectations define what you expect for every moment of your life, whether it be getting out of bed in the morning, whether it be walking into work, whether it be spending time with your family around the dinner table. No matter where you are, your expectations define how you approach that moment. And I can already tell you, your expectations are defining how you are going to experience this worship service today. Have you ever thought about that? Have you ever thought about the things that we carry into our worship time today, our expectations of what we expect things to happen, that it defines how we really approach the music that is sung, the scripture passage that is read, the prayer that is given, the decorations that are here? So I ask you this question: what were you expecting for Easter service today at First Baptist Elon? What are our expectations? You know, sometimes expectations can be so limiting. We come in expecting one thing, and something happens that we didn't expect, and when that happens, all of a sudden things are just thrown off. You walk into the office on Monday morning, and there is a note left by your secretary on your desk that says, you need to call so-and-so. They weren't happy about the sermon on Sunday morning. God forbid. Thank you, Lord, that the office is closed on Monday. But we get those expectations, and it wraps our day. Those expectations can determine how you approach your life. The expectations of the cross dictated how people approach life. Let's look at some of those expectations. Let's look at the Jewish officials and the Roman soldiers. Let's think about what they thought this was going to answer. You see, the Jewish officials were awaiting a Messiah. They didn't deny that, but they were waiting on a particular Messiah. an expected Messiah, a Messiah that was going to come and restore them to the top, restore them to power. That was one thought. Another thought was they were expecting a Messiah who was going to be apocalyptic in nature, who was going to come in and blow everything up and make things new with them on top again. Or they expected a Messiah who was going to come and change the political and religious landscape in a way that they were going to be okay with, and again, to put them back on top. Jesus didn't answer any of those expectations, did he? But let's not stop there. Let's think about the Roman soldiers. The Roman soldiers, the ones that the Jewish officials turned him over to, the Roman soldiers were trying to keep, the Roman officials were trying to keep this group of rabble-rousing Jewish messianic cult sect in line. They were trying to prevent any more kind of provocation in that region, this little sliver of land known as Israel, because that little sliver of land had caused so much trouble for them, and all they wanted to do was mute it. We all know where the mute button is on our remote control, right? Don't we sometimes wish we had a mute button? I know my wife does on me sometimes. But that mute button is what the Roman officials wanted. That's what they wanted. Let's just quiet them down, and if we put one man on the cross, it's done. We'll expect everything to be peaceful after that. Isn't it funny that this piece of torture, this piece of punishment, became the symbol for a Christian movement 2,000 years later? How many of you own a piece of cross jewelry? Raise your hand. How many of you have some form of cross thing in your house? Raise your hand. I've got both. Got one in my wallet. I wear one on my lapel every Sunday. I thought it was just supposed to mute the crowd, right? But 2,000 years later, this is the symbol. But it doesn't stop there, because the Roman officials who thought that this was going to solve the problem, little do they know, 300 years later, their own Roman Emperor Constantine would have a change of faith, turn to Christianity, and this little Jewish group, messianic sect, known as the Christians, would become the world-dominating religion in 300 years. Boy, their expectations were mighty limited, right? Jesus transformed their expectations and ours. But let's not stop there. Let's turn to our scripture this morning. We're looking at the Gospel of Luke. I told the youth this morning in Sunday school, the Gospel of Luke's my favorite gospel. Macon was saying, yep, it's my favorite too. There is a reason, because he is so diligent and detailed in his approach to every scripture passage. And this passage this morning from Luke chapter 24 speaks to what sometimes our limited expectations can prevent us from understanding and seeing. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they came to the tomb. Taking the spices that they had prepared, they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now as Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them as an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. Two other groups in this passage that we're oh so familiar with had expectations of what was to be found in the tomb. Let's start with the disciples for a second. The group of followers that had followed Jesus for 3 years in ministry, dropping everything behind, leaving family and jobs and money and security. And they followed this man they called Jesus that they believed was the Messiah, and everything he spoke of inspired them. They felt that this was the one. They had found the Messiah. The Messiah had finally come. They had been waiting thousands of years for a Messiah, and he finally was here. But the last couple days have been troubling, because that Messiah, the one that was supposed to restore them to the top, was now gone. He had been betrayed by Judas. He had been denied by Simon Peter 3 times. He had been arrested, flogged, placed in a form of torture that would take his life. Their expectations was that this Jesus, this Messiah that they had been following for 3 years, was the one. But how could he begin to do that? How could he begin to be restoring this kingdom if he's lying dead in a tomb? Even the disciples' expectations were limited. Boy, they were wrong. Isn't it funny? Isn't it funny that just a short time later, 2 days later, as the disciples probably scattered and some gathered in homes to wonder what's next, that a message was proclaimed by the women who went to the tomb? You see, their limited expectations of Jesus, that he was just a man who was going to rule the people. Little did they realize that he wasn't talking about earthly rule. He was talking about heavenly rule. The kingdom was new. The kingdom was different. They didn't expect that. That's expectations transformed. The women had gotten up either the night before or early that morning to prepare spices for the body. We went in a little bit of detail this morning in Sunday school with the youth about what that meant and why they did that. I'm just going to give you the abbreviated version. Jesus would have stunk after 2.5 days, okay? And they had to put something on him to make him smell good. And so that's what they did. They went back to their duties of the day. That was their duty. That was their responsibility. It's a responsibility they chose to do, and to deny it would be to deny what their mission was. Their mission was to tend to the body of their rabbi and teacher that Easter morning. And so as they prepared their expectations of walking to the tomb, you could imagine the tears that were probably still being shed, the conversations that were being had. Matthew and Mark tell us a little bit more about those conversations, about who's going to roll away the stones. What are we going to do about those soldiers that are there? Wasn't that stone tomb sealed? How do we get past that to put the herbs, the spices, the perfumes on Jesus? Their expectations ran through the typical situation of that day. But isn't it amazing? Isn't it funny how the expectations that they brought were soon transformed when they saw that the tomb had been vacated? Do we understand what that means, vacated? Notice I didn't say the tomb was empty. The tomb was vacated. Vacated means to go beyond. Simply to empty. I can empty the back behind this pulpit this morning. You don't want to see what's back here, by the way. The choir sees it every Sunday morning. I could empty this out, but to vacate it would mean to canvas, to take everything out, to see and view in a way that's never been done before. The tomb was vacated by Christ to remind us that death has no longer power on us. They were just expecting to find a dead body in a tomb. Expectations can limit the way we approach the world. Expectations can limit the way we approach this time, not just this Sunday, but every Sunday. Many of you have gathered here before. Many of you will gather here next Sunday. Many of you will gather at other places of worship next Sunday. But my question to you is this is, do your expectations of what this means and the vacated tomb means, does it shape and shift what happens between Sunday to Sunday? Because that's what it truly means. You see, Easter Sunday is not just April 21st, 2019. It's not just one date on the calendar every single year. Easter Sunday, Easter Monday, Easter Tuesday, Easter Wednesday, Easter Thursday, Easter Friday, Easter Saturday is every single day, because the tomb is still vacated. The tomb is vacated tomorrow. The tomb was vacated yesterday, even though we weren't gathered here and we weren't remembering it. The tomb was vacated on Friday and on Thursday. And ever since this tomb has been vacated, our world has been changed. But has your expectations limited the way you approach that day? I can tell you this day that Christ can transform your expectation if you'll let him. Are you ready to let him? Did you hear him moving in the music sung today? Did you hear him moving in the scripture that was read? Did you hear him moving in the prayers that were prayed? Did you hear him moving at the sunrise service this morning? Did you hear him moving at the Good Friday service? Did you hear him moving last Sunday when we were gathered here around the Word again? Did you hear him moving as the choir was practicing their songs for worship today? Did you hear him moving this morning when you opened your eyes on this Easter Sunday? Did you hear him? He was speaking. But were your expectations limiting what you were hearing? That's my message for today. Don't let the vacated tomb stop at 12:02 on Easter Sunday, because it's still empty and he's still moving. And he wants to move right here, right now, in you. And it doesn't stop on Sunday. Let us pray. Father God, we each bring expectations to every aspect of our life, not just worship. We bring expectations to life in general. Father, sometimes we bring expectations to you, and when they don't, and when they're not answered the way we expect them to be, just as the women at the tomb or the disciples who followed Jesus for many years and the Roman officials and the Jewish leaders that had placed him on the cross and put him in that tomb, when it doesn't match up, we just sometimes stop listening. But Father, you're moving. Your Son is living. Your Son is risen. He's moving today, wanting to transform our lives. Father, just don't let our expectations get in the way. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning, as we gather for our hymn of response, maybe in some aspect of worship this day, or maybe during this season of Lent, God has been speaking to you. Maybe he's working in your life in a new way, and you're not really sure how to put your finger on it. You're not really sure what the answer might be, but you know he's moving. He's speaking to you. The altar is always open. The cross is right here. I'll be down front. We'll be singing a song. Don't hesitate to make that journey down the aisle if that's what he's calling you to do today. We are a body of believers here seeking to worship and minister in our community. If you're looking for a church home, we're here. If you've journeyed away from the vacated tomb, if you've journeyed away and you realize that you're being led back, today's the day. Don't let the song come to an end before you make that journey. How is God moving today? Let's stand and worship together. Celebrate a risen Lord this day. It is Easter Sunday, but Easter follows in tomorrow. Take the risen Lord with you. You never know what he might be telling you, where he might be guiding. Father God, we lift this day to you. Amen.
Amen.